Jude is the author of the book, and he identified himself as a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Actually, Jude is also a half-brother of Jesus. But when he addresses himself with regards to Jesus, he dare not say that he is a brother of Jesus. He would say he is a servant of Jesus Christ. And that actually talks about this person and his heart. And this letter is to God's people in general, okay, to all believers, including us, I believe, today. And when was this letter written? Okay, this is a dispute by Bible scholars. Okay, the actual date this letter was written is really unknown, but estimate to be between AD 60 to AD 85. Yeah, and if you read Jude, you can see that the book of Jude is a regurgitation of 2 Peter chapter 2. Because if you read 2 Peter chapter 2, you see almost the same thing in a more elaborate manner compared to the book of Jude. And this passage, this book, the book of Jude, also contains some things that are a little bit difficult to understand and also controversial. For example, in verse 14, Jude mentioned about Enoch, the seventh from Adam. He said that he prophesied saying that the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands. If you look in the book of Genesis, you cannot find this in the book of Genesis. But you can actually find this in a book that is not canonized. Okay, this book is called the Book of Enoch. Yeah, and so some people have reservations about the authenticity of this book, and therefore, because of that, this book is not really preached and used as a passage. Most of the time, when people want to talk about this message, 2 Peter chapter 2 is being used. But I believe that the Lord wants us to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. There is some very important message that we can learn from Jude. And the key message of this passage is really in this word, in this verse that Jude said, contend for the faith that was once entrusted to God's holy people. And church, this letter was written at least more than 30 years after the first church was born. And 30 years later, Jude wrote this letter. And the implication of this letter was that their faith, the believers at the time, their faith was under attack or under siege. And as a result of that, Jude said, you must contend. Contend means to fight, to defend your faith. Church, let me ask you this question. Is our faith under attack today? What do you think? Is our faith under attack today? If you believe that our faith is under siege and under attack, then therefore this message that was preached by Jude is relevant to us. And Jude said that for certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. And they are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Frenemies have slipped in to the church. And these are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are masked people. And these people do not have God's agenda in their heart. They look like Christians outside, but inside them, they have no Jesus and they deny Jesus. These are the people that Jude is talking about. And these people distort the truth, confuse people with half-truths, and cause the sheep and God's people to fall into sin. And these are very dangerous people because they can cause the mission of God for His church to be thwarted. Marcus Tullius Cicero, a Roman statesman and philosopher, he said that a nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly, but the traitor moves among those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. A murderer is less to fear. The traitor is a plague. Paul, in Acts chapter 20, when he was bidding farewell to the Ephesian leaders, this is what he warned his people. He said, I know that when I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from under your own men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw the disciples away from them. So church, be on your guard. Do not be naive. Do not think that this will not happen to Ferris Park Baptist Church. Because the enemy has a plan. These savage wolves will come. And who are these frenemies that Jude was talking about? Who are these people? And in verse 12, he gave us a clue and he said that these are shepherds. These are leaders. They are not the real shepherds. They are hired hands. They are hirelings. They have no God's people in their heart. No love for God's people. And another passage that suggests to us that these are leaders is verse 8. It says that these are people who have dreams, who have ambitions, and they are very driven by what they want to do and achieve, and they make use of the institution, the church, for personal gain. And Jude, in his message, he suggested three ways that we can recognize these people amongst us. He said that these wolves, these people, have the characteristics of Cain, Balaam, and Korah. And if you are familiar with the story of Cain in Genesis chapter 4, you know that Cain and Abel, they were both offspring of Adam and Eve. And from Genesis chapter 4, we know that Cain worked in the soil and Abel tend the flock. And the Bible tells us that when it comes to a time where they are to present offering to God, I think Adam and Eve taught their children very well. Yeah, the children presented offering to God. And you know from the story that God looked at Abel's offering with favor, but not Cain's offering. And Cain became very angry. He was angry and his face was downcast. And God went to Cain and said, "Cain, why are you angry? If you have done what is right, wouldn't you be favored also? But if you have done wrong, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, and you must overcome it." God gave him a gentle advice. And the Bible tells us that Cain became angrier because he wasn't able to get his own way and he was not able to get God on his side. And he committed a murder. He killed his brother. Cain had no love for people. He had no love even for his own brother. He cares only about himself, his glory, and his ways. If his ways are not accepted, he will become angry. And people like that disregard even God's advice and God's word. God's word is not used as a yardstick or as a measure for their life. They disregard the word of God completely. And these are dangerous people. And church, may I suggest to you that the way of Cain is the way of self-centeredness. It is the me always right. And me must have the last say. It is a revengeful person, full of anger and jealousy. He hates people who cannot agree with him. And he hates people who do better than him. If you have come across people like this in the church, be very, very careful of them. And the second personality that Jude talked about here is this character by the name of Balaam. And Balaam has this problem with money. And in Numbers chapter 22, and 31, it suggested to us that he is a person who will have no qualms to be bought and to do anything wicked when he's given money. The story in Numbers 22 goes this way. This king of Moab by the name of Balak, he felt threatened because the children of Israel, there are so many of them, and they came out from Egypt and they just camped beside them. And he heard that these people are powerful people because God's favor is upon their life. So he felt threatened that these people might take over his territory. And because of his fear, he sent messengers to Balaam. The purpose of these messengers that he sent is to bribe Balaam and tell Balaam to pronounce a curse upon the children of Israel. And Balaam as a prophet went to seek God. It is an interesting story. Yeah? Balaam is not an Israelite himself. He is perhaps one of the few. I do not know whether there is more than one more than Balaam. He is one of the prophets that is a non-Israelite. But God spoke to him. He went and he confided in the Lord, and the Lord said, no, don't go, because these children of Israel, they are blessed. God said, no. So Balaam went to the messengers and said, oh, boss, kata tak boleh. No. And the messengers persuaded him. Persuaded. And then he said, maybe I can go back to ask the Lord again. Because there is so much money in it. So he went back and he asked the Lord again. And you know the story. And he set out together with this man, going to see the king of Moab. And as he was traveling there, the Lord sent an angel and stood in front of the path. And the donkey he was riding on stopped. Because the donkey could see the angel. But Balaam couldn't see. And Balaam was whacking the donkey's ass. Why are you not moving? Why? And the donkey said, you stupid. I mean, the story is not like that, okay? Okay. And the Bible says that God opened the mouth of the donkey and rebuked Balaam. Church, this is an issue. When we don't listen to God, God will cause an animal to speak to us. Because we cannot accept the word. We cannot accept what God is saying. God has to use a donkey or a dog or a cat to speak to us sometimes. And in Numbers 31, it was mentioned that Balaam again gave advice. Very brilliant idea. Send pagan prostitutes into the enemy's camp. Confuse them. Turn them away from God to become worshippers of pagan gods. Money. The second characteristic of these savage wolves is that they have no qualms to rush into profits. There is a price tag over them. If somebody gives them enough money, they will do whatever. And the third, I'm finishing soon, yeah? In another 10 minutes. The third character is this person by the name of Korah. Korah in Numbers 16. And it was said in the Bible that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram became insolent. They became proud. They are disrespectful for Moses and Aaron. And they rose up against Moses and Aaron. Not only that, they rallied the assembly of about 250 community leaders to go against Moses and Aaron. And they say that God is with us. God is not with Moses and Aaron. God has rejected them. God is with us. With me, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Just imagine when Moses, how much he had given up his life to work with these stiff-necked people, this kind of Kuching Kurap come to him and say this kind of things. He was crushed. The Bible said that he went face down before God and prayed. And then, after praying, he said, okay, each one now, okay, everybody takes a sensor, okay, you know what a sensor is, okay, it looks like this, huh? Okay, this is what a sensor is. This is a device that the priests or the people, when they make an offering to God, they put the incense into this charcoal and burn, and this is how they offer offering to God. So Moses said, everybody takes this censer and go to the tent of meeting. At the gate there, stand. As they approached the tent of meeting and the community stood in front of the tent of meeting, the glory of God came. Wow, what a scene. Glory of God came. And Moses saw already, oh, something is going to happen. Oh. And Moses tell and warn the others and say, you better move away from Korah, Abiram, and that Dathan. Something is going to happen. So, the smart ones move away. And you know the story. The ground opened up and swallowed them alive. I don't know whether that was an earthquake or what, but the Bible says the ground just opened and swallowed these people up. What a dramatic response by God. The Apostle Paul. Sum these three characters up in 2 Timothy 3, 2-3. He said, in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. Cain. Lovers of money. Balaam. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, and slanderous. In the last days, people like this will rise up and seep into the church. And we must be careful for them. And Jude was telling us that these people will not always have their field day. Their day will come. They will be judged. And he gave examples. He said, even the children of Israel who disobeyed, they were judged by God. And God did not even spare his angels. And look at Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened? To perversion. You get the drift, church, that these people, they will be judged. They will be condemned by God. They will not always have their field day. And I'm going to end with this slide. Church, I'm teaching you to be smart. Do not gobble up everything that this person stand up here and tell you. It is becoming more and more dangerous. all sorts of nonsense will be preached out from the pulpit in the last days to confuse people, to deceive people, to make use of people to do their bidding. And I want you, church, to judge me, to judge the leaders of the church based on this yardstick, that we are not lovers of money, that we are not boastful people, that we do not do this for ourselves, for our personal ambition, but we do this because we sense a calling from God that we are to shepherd God's people, that we are to love them, to even sacrifice for God's people. These are the kinds of leaders that we ought to expect and look for in the church. Always. Always. Any other standards are not acceptable to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for the warning that was given to us by Jude. Lord, it's indeed a very sobering message that I first preach to myself and examine my own heart before you. Lord, if there is anything, any element, oh God, that is displeased, that is displeasing to you, Father, I pray that you will forgive me and remove this from my heart. As far as the east is from the west, oh God, I do not want to have anything to do with this, oh God. That let the leaders of this church, Lord, serve with sincerity, with a heart of a shepherd, with integrity, and have no love for money, but the love of people, Lord. And let it not be our selfish ambition to serve, oh God, for ourselves, for our pride, for position, for anything like this, oh God. No, God, not this, but to serve you, Lord, as shepherds under the chief shepherd, Lord. Grant us the heart of Jesus. And grant your people wisdom, Lord, to be able to discern, to be able to see, to know how to observe, oh God, savage wolves in our midst, Lord. We pray and we ask for your protection, for wisdom to be upon your people. For I pray all this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people say, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening, and do come back next week, okay? If it's not hurting you too much, this message. Yeah. And next week, I'm going to speak to you the second part about how and what to do in response to these savage wolves. Okay? God bless you, and have a great day. See you again next.